Good morning and welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers and I am joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne. How are you?
I'm well. It's September.
I know. How did that happen?
The heck?
Poof.
I know. Oh. Here we are. And the sun's even supposed to come out this afternoon. So
yeah, I heard it's like 68 here and 95 in the city.
Oh, my gosh.
So I imagine we'll...
We're lucky, though.
Yeah.
We're very lucky. In so many ways. What you been cooking?
Well, I am not a person anymore who should be a co-host on a home cooking show because Dale and I have been like subsisting entirely on cantaloupe.
Yum, though.
Oh, my gosh. There's a salad that I make. I used to work in a Chinese restaurant years ago, but for a long time. And they had this papaya salad with snow peas that was really good. And
was it green papaya?
I actually don't remember. I don't think so. No, it was orange. And so I changed it. And do you ever change something where you change every single thing about it? You know what I mean?
You're no longer making that
I know. So I kind of think it's mine, but it was based on this papaya salad. So they used ripe papaya, but I used cantaloupe and then just rotisserie chicken and pea pods instead of snow peas. And then there's a Chinese pineapple like jam that is impossible to get. So I just squish up like the kind of crushed pineapple, you know, I get most of the juice out of it. And I don't mix it. I mix it with just regular mayo, not that Chinese mayo. And then I put some sesame oil in it, too. And I'm trying to think what else, a little honey, and then just make a salad. And it's really good. But every single ingredient is changed. There isn't a single one that's the same.
Well, but you're entitled to rename it.
Yeah. But that's a really good, refreshing salad.
Yum. I had a salad that I did not make that was fabulous over the weekend. And it was also melon. It was the most amazing thing with honeydew melon, which normally I don't buy because it doesn't ever taste like anything.
It's because it's the wallflower of melons.
Yes, it is. But it doesn't have to be. Apparently, all you have to do is, you know, respect it, and it becomes a star of the melon. Anyway, it was heirloom tomatoes, honeydew melon, and red pepper, fresh chili pepper sliced really thin.
Oh, really?
Thin,
okay.
And the most delicious light vinaigrette. I have no idea how that happened, but it was really remarkable. And I had company for dinner, and everybody was like, this is so great.
I like
melon and tomatoes.
Yeah, I the only way I really like honeydew melon is with tahine.
Oh,
Mexican kind of spicy thing. And so the red peppers made me think that. So I bet that was really good.
Yeah, it was really good. But it made me love honeydew melon all over again.
Oh, wow.
I kind of don't even bother to check to see if there's a ripe one when I'm shopping.
No, I never do, just because I think they're boring. But was the vinaigrette, was it sweet at all?
Not really.
Okay.
No.
I bet with the tomatoes, that was really good.
Yeah, it was fabulous.
Boy, we've had some good tomatoes, too, when we're
Holy
cheating on our
cow.
Cantaloupe.
I know. You can just eat them like an apple. They're so good.
I get so excited when I find one that's gigantic, and I know that's stupid, but when it's gigantic and it's ripe, and you can make a BLT and it just has one big slab of tomato on
it,
I just think it's...
Like a burger.
Yeah, exactly. It's just so luxurious.
I know. So it good. Is. It is. And also all the lettuces. Another thing that I tasted since I saw you last that I have not ever had before, didn't know it existed, and woo, what a fabulous thing, was dinosaur romaine.
Really?
Grown locally by one of our fabulous local farmers. And it was so delicious that on a crudite platter, it was one of the things that you picked up, even though it was forming the bed, and dipped in the dip, because it is delicious. It has flavor and a really, really good crunch, but it is dark green and leafy kind of on the edges. It's just...
So it's kind of curly a little bit? No, not curly. Lumpy?
Yeah.
Okay, because I know dinosaur kale is lumpy and very dark.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah. It was, I had no idea there was such a thing. And
dinosaur romaine.
I'm enamored now.
Okay, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, you know, there's local growers, because especially now into winter, there's so many, especially Asian greens, that they can grow in the winter. Yeah. And it's just to have fresh salad greens, even though some of them are unrecognizable, they're still delicious. You know?
And there's so many. All year long. Yeah, I love the Asian green season because you can just do so much with them. And they make your standard stir fry be so much more.
Yeah. Yeah, there's even a farmer around here that sells just a braising green mix. And that's genius, you know. Yeah, I'll dump that all into something.
Yeah. No.
I don't want to have to choose.
And I don't want a whole head of everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't stay ahead of that, so.
Hey, have you ever had a Crenshaw melon?
Yes.
What did you think? Because I've never had one.
I like them, and I like them on the same level that I like cassava melons.
Okay.
And there's some weird one called, I think it's like snow leopard melon or something like that.
What's that one that they had at the co-op? It was like sugar cube or something.
I
didn't get to try that one. They said it looked like a very tiny cantaloupe.
Oh.
But I have a friend who's like, I can't wait for the Crenshaw melons, and I'd never had one. I'm like, really?
They're lovely.
Okay.
Actually, they have flavor. They're lovely.
Okay, well, then I can't wait to try it.
I am not always, I'm not a reliable chooser of melon out of you know, display of melons, especially cantaloupe. If there's no give on the stem end and it doesn't smell like melon, and they almost never do, then I'm stumped.
Okay, yeah, I really do try to get ones that smell like melon. That's my test.
Yeah.
And then thumping on watermelon and anything else, I'm just like, well, except mangoes, you want them a little soft, but that's not a melon dough. But I was thinking orange things. Dough.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know why, but I think of spring and summer as fruit season because so many things are coming into season. But really, all year round, we get
apples and pears. And
we get fabulous fruit all year long. And citrus. I mean, we eat oranges at my house year round, but the selection gets smaller in the summer and goes crazy in the fall and the winter.
Yeah, looking which is really nice.
Yeah, really. So nice.
Did I tell you? I can't remember that I made French onion soup.
I can't remember either.
Okay, I don't think I did. I think I made it since I talked to you last. So I made French onion soup. So I did work in a French restaurant for a long time, too. And the thing about when you work in a restaurant is you have a lot of burners.
Yeah.
But I have this stove. We can't get gas. We're too rural. So I have an electric stove. And it really only has one decent-sized burner.
Yeah.
And all the others, it's a glass top. And there's, I don't even know why they put those. Oh, it's a warming burner. Do I need that? You know, is that really something I need to take up a bunch of space? But there's two little burners and one big burner. So you can really only do one thing at once. So I roasted a whole bunch of beef bones. So that takes about 2 hours. And then I made them into beef stock. And that takes about 17 hours. So that's an all day thing right there, you know. And then it takes another 2 days to turn part of the beef stock into demi-glace because you have to reduce it slowly. And you just have to be so careful because it's so easy to burn it and then it's destroyed, you know. And so erring on the careful side, it takes 2 days. And then caramelizing the onions. I mean, I bought a 50-pound bag of onions, and which is so weird.
I cry thinking about
it. Which I do believe that thing if you have a really sharp knife that the onions make you hurt your eyes a lot less. And so I sharpened my knife as sharp as it could possibly be. And I was surprised how little it affected me. So that was really cool. But it takes 5-6 hours to caramelize that many onions, you know. And the onions, it's if you go to like a restaurant supply store, a 50-pound bag of onions is going to cost you literally 20% of what it is buying them by the pound in a grocery store. So I've got a few left. If any of you are out there lacking onions, but still it ended up being a lot cheaper. So, but just all that work and then you put everything together and that just takes a couple hours, but it's a 4-day affair, you know.
How was it?
It was pretty good.
You baked bread, so you must have had a great crouton on top.
Yeah. And cheese. I didn't have any cheese that was right, so I used mozzarella, and it just wasn't very good. I should have put some Parmesan on it, too, for a little bit of flavor. But we'll have it again, you know?
Yeah. You need some Gruyere.
Yeah, yeah. And I just didn't have any.
Yeah. I always have... my cheese drawer is... it's a treasure hunt. It's more like a, grab bag kind of thing.
Yeah,
where,
yeah.
Because once I open a cheese and use some, mm-hmm. I put it in, the reusable Ziplocs.
Yeah.
I put them in there, and they no longer have labels.
Oh.
And they're in these, zip closed bags that are not completely clear like a single use would be.
Yeah, they're slightly opaque.
Yeah. So you can't really, you can tell if it's going to be, you know, if it's bright orange.
Yeah.
But if it is mozzarella or Swiss or any of the millions of milky colored cheeses, it's just a surprise. I just pull out cheese and that's what
we're
like having.
I like that. You know what, though? I always just wrap them up back in their original wrappers and then I wrap something around them. But I don't want to be using plastic. And that's a really good idea to... put them all in the same bag, the used ones, because then you know, I'm going to do that. It's a simple thing, but I think that that's a really good organizational thing.
When you get
thing.
Down to a little...
nubbin?
Yes. Then I think you treat them like you would treat Parmesan rinds.
Stick them
where
in.
You can just toss them into whatever you're doing that's going to slow cook for a little while.
That's a really good idea.
So any kind of like pasta sauce or anything, you might as well use them up. And for... like Gruyere, it almost does have a rind. It has that hard
crust.
Yep. And that acts very much like a Parm rind. So,
yeah.
But it's not by design.
Yeah. In town, there's a grocery store where the cheese counter is underneath some weird lights that bleach the cheese, like they get lighter. And so there's nothing wrong with them. But, oh, they have just such good cheese sales, you know, when they mark them down.
Yeah.
Just such good, just because they look old, but they're not. It's just that the lighting is weird above the cheese counter.
What a shame.
I'm bummer.
Can't they change the bulbs? No, we should not recommend fixes for that problem.
No,
we like
it's
the sales.
It's such a great problem. Well, I got like 5 different kinds of Parmesan, and I always just buy Parmesan Reggiano, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was just fun to taste different ones that were quality.
And what did you discover?
That there was one that I liked better.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And so that was a shock to me. But, yeah, I just liked it better. And I don't think it's like it's absolutely better, you know, like
yeah.
It's a finer, better cheese. But for me, it was just better. So that was just it was fun, you know.
Were they all Italian?
I don't know.
But they were all called Parmesan.
Yes. So I assume they were. And this one's the name is Italian sounding now that I think about it. But I didn't think about that when.
Yeah.
When I was saying, what? $3? No, just making that up. But you know what I mean?
It's so, it's so gratifying to get a really good deal on a luxury thing like that.
Yeah, that's really, really the truth.
Yeah, it's a treat. I want to take a quick second and remind everybody that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. If you have not visited KMUN.org and or northcoastfoodweb.org, you simply must take a minute and do that because those are very interesting, informative, worthy websites.
Sure are.
Just go. Just go there.
I had a pretty interesting conversation with a woman at the, there's a Mexican food cart out in Warrenton.
Yeah.
And we were talking about salsas.
Uh-huh.
And so she says that she has a really good avocado salsa, which isn't a common salsa, in a food cart. And so she says that the way she makes it better is by using pickled jalapeno juice.
Oh.
Isn't that a good idea?
That sounds great.
So do you remember like 100 years ago where everybody was like, ooh, boil your rice in chicken stock and it'll be more flavorful,
of
thing.
Yeah.
But I was thinking maybe there's things now... that ways now that we can add flavor with our liquids that I hadn't thought of before. Because I never thought of using pickled jalapeno juice to make salsa, and that's great, you know?
Yeah, that's a great idea for salsa. Yeah. And I am seeing tons of imaginative ways to use pickle juice.
Yes. Like I always, if I'm making deviled eggs or I'm making potato salad, when I want to thin out the egg yolk mayo paste that you make a little bit, I always use pickle juice. But what else are they using pickle juice for?
Well, I just saw something. Let me look while you talk.
So I was born in 19... Just kidding. But I was trying to think of different things like
pickle. I saw this pickle brined fried chicken.
Oh, interesting. I bet that's really good.
And it's made into a sandwich. So you're basically making like a katsu chicken kind of deal. But
that's a really good idea.
Yeah, it is. It totally is.
But I was thinking with salad dressings, I remember, I mean, years ago, you were the one that said, no, put jam and jelly in your vinaigrettes. But I bet syrup would be good, too. And I know we put maple in, but there's so many different kinds of syrup, you know?
Yeah.
And like I've got a port syrup in my refrigerator right now, and that would make a really good vinaigrette.
That would make a great vinaigrette.
I don't think I would have thought of that if she wasn't, you know, telling me about the pickle jalapeno juice.
And actually, pickle juice in vinaigrette. I mean, I've never even tried it, but why not?
And yes, of course, I didn't think of that, but that would be good too, especially on like a taco salad.
Yeah.
If you wanted to put a dressing rather than salsa on it, you know?
Exactly.
And then I'm just trying to think of other things that I thin with water, you know, that I could use some kind of juice in. Soup, it would be too much.
Yeah.
But
I think so, although I have seen pickle soup on some wacky menus.
And I have passed over those recipes.
Yes, absolutely. And also the deep fried pickles. And I apologize to anybody who loves pickle soup and deep fried pickles, but they're just not my thing.
And you should go get a pregnancy test.
I think it's abusive of a good pickle, personally. Yeah.
I did have deep fried pickles once, like 35 years ago, and just to, you know, try them once in my life. And that was just plenty. You know, I have had no
You're done.
Desire. Oh, my gosh. And it came, and it was this giant basket. And I'm like, oh.
Did it come with ranch?
I don't even remember. Oh, I just remember it was just so giant and overwhelming. And I'm like, well, I should have said I just want one.
How much is just one?
I know.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I don't know. I will say for the millionth time, there ain't no accounting for taste, you know? And I'm not, I may cast aspersions, but in my heart, I have no judgment about what people like and don't like, because who knows?
Yeah.
And maybe even it has something to do with our personal body chemistry, how we taste things, you know? So if y'all like a deep fried pickle, go for it.
But I think that's true because, I mean, I really think it's true because people's tastes change so much when they're pregnant, you know?
Yeah.
And then as they get older, it changes. So I do think it's a body chemistry thing. I think you're totally right. I'm on board.
But not the pickle, the fried pickle board.
No.
Some other board.
Well, I made turkey burgers. I really like turkey burgers just on the grill, you know?
What do you do with the mix? I mean, are you using turkey like tenderloins, or are you doing a ground turkey?
No, this I'm talking ground turkey.
Yeah.
And so take a pound and I just doink doink with a bench knife, cut it into quarters, and then the thing with it is it just wants to fall apart, and then you don't want it. You don't want to mash it all up a whole lot though, because you don't want that like it's my paste burger. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Going on so. I get a little oil in my hands, and then I just press it down so that I always make my burgers that I'm going to grill kind of the shape of like a red blood vessel, where they're thicker around the outside and thinner in the middle, you know?
Picture your red blood vessel, which none of us can do.
Google. And so it's thinner in the middle, because then when it cooks, it always kind of... if you make a burger just flat, then it'll be fatter in the middle.
Yeah.
And so I just want it to be kind of just the same thickness all through. So I make it a little thinner. And then I oil both sides of the burger, which is hard because it's a very flimsy thing that wants to fall apart. So what I do is I have a sheet pan and I put some oil and just, you know, a thin layer of a little bit of oil. And I put the burger down in it, and then I flip it over in it, so I'm not like brushing oil on it or anything. I'm just, where I place it, there already is oil. And I do this rather than oiling my grill, that's because it's just what I've always done. I don't want the oil burning onto my grill where I don't have something sitting. So then I just use like something like a Montreal steak seasoning, you know, that kind of flavor thing. And I put quite a bit on there, just on one side. And then I grill it on high. I have a gas, propane gas grill. I grill it about 3 minutes on one side. I flip it over. I grill it about 1 minute, and then I put a piece of cheese on it, grill it another minute, and then it's done. And it's good. And I always think that how you treat your buns matters for how your burger tastes. And so in the house, but you can, of course, do it on the grill too, I toast just super lightly buttered buns, because if you butter them like you would normally butter something, they get like sloppy,
yeah,
or just greasy, you know. But then they toast up really nice, and I think that makes it a lot better.
Yeah. So you're not actually making, you're just letting the turkey be itself.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not making like, you know,
a meatloaf blend.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. I'm not doing anything like that. But I really like them, and turkey's pretty healthy.
Yeah. And reasonable, too, in terms of what you pay for your animal protein.
Yeah,
it's one of the really good deals.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I grill a lot, and it's just an easy thing to do. And I always grill a couple extra burgers, and then we can warm them up for lunch the next day. We're not picky.
That's a pretty luxurious lunch, I would say.
Luxurious.
No, I mean, really.
Microwaved.
If you were going to make a burger for lunch, that's a project. But if you have one, if you already possess one.
You know, I used to make, I don't know why I don't anymore. You know how you just have habits and then you fall out of them? But I used to always make little sandwiches, like little sliders, and have them in the fridge for Dale, you know. And so I would just take like little dinner buns, dinner rolls, or slider buns, because you can buy them. And the dinner rolls were a little fat, so I would cut like the middle third out of them so that they were more like a hamburger bun, you know, shape. And then just whatever I had, you know, just if you have deli meat, or if you have leftover roasted chicken, or if you have something that's grilled. But one thing I would do is I would, if I was making meatloaf, I would just take some of it off and I would make little patties, and I would just fry them on the stove, you know?
Yeah.
And then I would put those in the buns in the fridge, wrap them up, and then he could put them in the microwave and have a little meatloaf sandwich.
I used to do little sandwiches for my dad all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he loved it. I mean, he probably ate way too many sandwiches. He loved it so much. But I wasn't there to watch him eat them. I would just keep restocking the fridge. But another thing I used to do that he loved was make mini corn muffins and use the corn muffins for a sandwich.
Oh, what a good idea.
And then, and they're really good that way with a little mayo, mustard, and like ham and cheese or something.
Okay.
A lot of things taste really good in corn muffin, chicken with some cranberry, anything. So I like the whole idea of mini sandwiches, and I haven't done it for ever and ever. Bless you.
Oh.
I haven't
before
done
I have
it.
Sinned.
Okay, well, you're absolved. Yeah, I haven't done that for so long. And also, the last thing that my husband and I need is a nice platter of sandwiches in the fridge for our convenience.
But it works, because there's always people at our house. Dale's son has his boat stored there. And I mean, is today the last day? Salmon fishing? I can't remember.
I
know it's getting close. And he's coming like twice in 24 hours to get his boat to go fishing.
Oh,
you know,
my
he's
gosh.
Just like a man obsessed. But he's always hungry.
So that's a good thing. And he can take those with him out onto the sea.
Yeah. So I just need to start doing that again.
Yeah. It's really easy for how grateful the recipient is.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'm just not always making sandwiches. I'm just making them once and sticking them in the fridge. I don't know why I fell out of that habit. Because I like it.
Times change.
Yeah.
That's all. That's why. That's why everything.
Yeah.
Well, I was just quickly trying to think of do we have like events in September that are special food events? I don't think so.
No, I know. I didn't do any kind of Labor Day picnic this year. I don't even
that's
think
that's okay.
I don't think I even do it like every other year. But sometimes, you know, people want to get together and
yeah.
you get out your potato salad knife.
And pickle juice, it's great in potato
salad.
Yeah,
I know. But I didn't do anything like that this year. September, I mean, is the next big thing, is it Thanksgiving?
No, Halloween.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, not that Halloween is a food holiday other than, you know, like only candy, but I don't consider that food. But anyway, I shouldn't say that because there's candy in the world that I totally would consider food, but yeah, not yeah. anything you get in your Halloween bag, no.
I saw a friend's husband last night, and he was stuffing his face with peanut butter cups, and I'm like, hey, how are you? And he's like, practicing for Halloween, building up my resistance. I thought that was really cute.
Oh, my God.
It's a job.
It is. I didn't think of it as something you have to work out for, but there you go. I used to be a sucker for Peeps.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, only they had to be stale. I mean, Tom would buy me the, like, little boxes of mm-hmm. Peeps that are all lined up and hooked together.
Mm-hmm.
And I would poke holes in the cellophane and then put them on a shelf somewhere in the kitchen they were...
Oh, that's so interesting. Then it's more like a meringue, you know?
Yeah, it's chewable. I mean, it's not squishy.
Yeah.
It's better. It's very much like circus peanuts. Do you remember them?
Yes, but I mean,
texture.
I know other people who, I mean, they just live for Peeps. They love them so much. I've seen really interesting things on... you know, the internet where they're making like s'mores out of them. And I thought that was a great idea.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But they are, you know, dipped in noxious colors. So
I
don't know how that would, I don't know.
Clearly you're not nine.
I've kicked the habit. I wasn't nine when I liked them.
I mean, the typical Peep eater.
And you know, it's like eating a cube of sugar, but there's something better than a cube of sugar about it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just the, you know, the bunny shape.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm over it. I'm totally over it. I will bequeath my bad habit to someone else. Go ahead and have a Peep, everyone, by all means. There's always one season, you know, that reflects the season we're in, an appropriate Peep.
The lady that runs Lucy's Books, I know she's crazy for Peeps. So if you ever want to get on, I know if you ever want to get on her good side, just bring her some Peeps.
That's so good to know. Yeah. Tell her you heard it here.
We should like give a call to her next Easter.
We should. We are coming kind of close Aww. To the end of the show. We have a couple minutes, but I think that you have a special song for us.
Oh, yeah. I got a new song, everybody.
And I don't want to have to cut it off in the middle.
It's called I Tried to Get to the Co-op in the Summer of 2025.
Oh, my God.
From my house.
It's
the title.
It's an epic.
Okay. I sang part of it last week.
Oh, you did? Yeah, yeah, you did? Okay, because okay. The road was closed?
Yes, the road, singular. Okay, want to hear it? Here, go.
Yeah.
Well, I want to go to town, but the dump road is shut down. I head towards Warrenton and circle back. All I do is waste a bunch of gas. And 8th Street's also closed, so I'm feeling kind of hosed. If you're trying to get home, you'd best not choose Jerome. Well, 11th Street ain't open like I know that you was hoping. And 16th Street is shut. Seriously, what?
Did you ever make it to your destination?
Oh, my gosh. When I came down the hill and 16th was also shut, I mean, seriously, I was just like, what?
We have to go.
Bye,
thanks,
Marianne.